You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
The self-inflicted damage that journalism has done to itself in the last 3 years is mind-boggling. A profession that many people would like to respect finds itself just thrashing at itself. But that self-inflicted damage to the reputation of the media, as we call them, has also had collateral damage in an attempt to, well, destroy the reputations of presidents or nominees to the Supreme Court with abandoned. They have left a lot of damage along the way. We're going to be talking about some of that collateral damage from media coverage from the hearings of Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings. Margo Cleveland joins us on this Wednesday afternoon. She's an attorney and graduate of Notre Dame Law School. She served for 25 years as a permanent law clerk for a federal appellate court judge. She's adjunct instructor for the College of Business at Notre Dame and senior contributor to The Federalist, author of a recent column titled Lawsuit, HuffPo Falsely Blames Black Student for Killing a Kennedy, All to Smear Brett Kavanaugh. Margo, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much.
What is the substance of the suit that Derek Evans is bringing against Huffington Post and journalist Ashley Feinberg?
So Derek Evans is suing for defamation based on an article that was written by Feinberg and published by the Huffington Post. And this happened a few days after the Washington Post broke their story on the allegations by Christine Blasey Ford against Justice Kavanaugh. And they made some false statements about Mr. Evans, and now he is finally seeking justice through a defamation lawsuit.
How was it connected, or how was it kind of a collateral damage in an attempt to smear Brett Kavanaugh's reputation at the time?
So it's kind of funny when you ask, how is it connected? And the answer is, it wasn't. But they were looking for something for a smear, and using a Kennedy's name would get the attention. And Mr. Evans, Derek Evans, had attended the same school, the Georgetown Prep, as now Justice Kavanaugh. And during that time, a Kennedy, so it was David Kennedy, had overdosed on cocaine and some other mixture of drugs. And the Huffington Post ran the story that Derek Evans helped him score those drugs. The theory here was the article was trying to portray the prep school, the Georgetown Prep School, as a party school. And by doing that, it would bolster Christine Blasey Ford's now debunked claims that while intoxicated, Kavanaugh had attempted to rape her. So it really is not connected, but it was really trying to create this appearance that we have some evidence backing it up. And the evidence is this was a huge party school, and the Kennedy name just helped get a little bit more traffic there.
After these allegations against Evans were shown to be false, what did the Huffington Post do?
So what happened at first was the Huffington Post had said that David's brother, Doug Kennedy, and his friend, Derek Evans, had helped score the coke. Well, Doug Kennedy was working at Fox, and someone from Fox called and said, hey, this story is absolutely false. You need to pull that entire article. And instead of pulling it, they then did a quote correction, and I'm using kind of quotation marks around here, because what they did is they put a correction that said the article previously stated incorrectly that Doug Kennedy was involved in helping his brother to purchase the drugs in 1984. And it goes on and says, Kennedy was only sharing a room with Derek Evans, who helped David purchase the drugs, according to an affidavit obtained by the New York Times. We regret the error. But this was actually even more defamatory, because they, again, were blaming Evans and saying that Evans had helped purchase the drugs. But then they went one step further and said that there's this affidavit that shows that, which there is absolutely not. So the first thing they did is they ran a correction to sort of cleanse the palate of the Kennedy being involved, and they put even more blame on Derek Evans, which is, again, not true. And that came about when Kennedy's attorney sent a follow-up letter and said, that wasn't a correction, and in fact, you're blaming his friend who had nothing to do with it. And in fact, Derek Evans had cooperated with authorities at the time in identifying the individuals who had allegedly sold the cocaine to David Kennedy. So rung two, where they were trying to supposedly correct it, actually was not just doubling down, but tripling down, making it even worse.
So when Doug Kennedy responded to the Huffington Post's purported correction by hiring a lawyer, what did the Post do then?
Well, then what they did is they pulled any references to Kennedy or Evans and then put a little correction saying the article previously mischaracterizes the involvement of the individuals in a drug purchase, and that those references were removed. But of course, as Evans says in his complaint, there wasn't a mischaracterization, because there was no purchase that they were involved in. They had nothing to do with the purchase. So it wasn't a mischaracterization about the purchase. Since then, nothing had really come of it until this litigation. I actually was not even aware of this until I saw through Twitter that the lawsuit had been filed, and then I pulled up the complaint. And when I read what they did, I was just amazed and horrified.
Margo Cleveland is our guest. We're talking about collateral damage from media coverage of the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. She says that there are three damning realities that are exposed by this story regarding journalism in an age of Trump. We'll find out what they are right after this break.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The the 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about collateral damage from the media coverage of the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. Margo Cleveland is our guest. After that, we're going to talk with Nancy Valco about a good move on the part of the Health and Human Services Department in favor of the conscience rights of pro-life nurses. Then we'll go through Issues Etc. comment line and Issues Etc. email, responding to as much of it as we can. Margo, you say that this lawsuit has exposed three damning realities regarding journalism in the age of Trump. What are they?
The first one is that the abandonment of basic journalistic standards is almost absolute. This story shows the extent that journalists and outlets have just forgotten everything that they were ever taught. So in this case, they had no source that Evans had purchased the drugs for Mr. Kennedy. They had no affidavit and claimed that they did. So really what they did is they ran with some unverified gossip based on maybe his recollection or what other people might have been saying at the time, but they had no sources. They didn't attempt to contact Evans or Douglas Kennedy for a comment before they ran it, and they didn't even do basic research. If you had Googled it, you would have come across the article at the New York Times that covered it and made clear that Mr. Evans had actually helped law enforcement identify and prosecute the individuals who had actually been involved. So the first thing you're seeing here is how far the journalistic train has derailed. And then the second thing that we're seeing is how important the narrative is. And you're seeing this in this case, and I was just reminded of it today as you're hearing the stories about Russian bigwigs co-signing for Trump loans. Russia, Russia, Russia was the narrative for Trump. With Kavanaugh, the narrative was kind of the white privilege, rich party school. And by bolstering that narrative, it would allow Christine Blasey Ford, who had no credibility, to appear credible. That, yeah, of course he was drunk. Everybody there was drunk in a party, or in fact, they killed Kennedy. And it wasn't just this narrative. It was how they were pushing the narrative. The Huffington Post had put in tags so that when you search for things, it would make it appear in the searches. So this is how things go viral in the internet age. And they were pushing on that. So the second is that they're using a narrative as opposed to fact-based reporting. And then the third is, really, no one is beyond the focus or the target of the media if it means taking down a conservative or Trump. So when you saw the attack on the Covington High School kids, that was some 16 and 17-year-old boys that were private citizens. And in this case, they were trying to take down Kavanaugh, and they went after Derek Evans, who they're trying to portray as part of this, you know, culture. He is actually a descendant of slaves, and he was at this prep school on a full academic scholarship. And yet they used him, and they used this old story about a Kennedy death and defame this man for one purpose only, which is to further the destruction of Brett Kavanaugh.
Let me get this straight. The Huffington Post made no attempt to contact either Evans or Douglas Kennedy for comment before running this original story that is the genesis of the defamation suit?
That is what they allege in their complaint, and I cannot imagine that they would have put that in there if that was false. They're submitting a court that a case to a federal court, and you have to be making it based on facts that you know to be true, or at least caveat it, well, which they did in a couple instances of saying we believe. And they would know, Evans would know if someone tried to contact him. And when Fox News reached out regarding Mr. Kennedy, it was clear that he had not been contacted beforehand. So neither one had been contacted. The Huffington Post, when they were asked for comment, has said multiple times that they do not comment on pending litigation. I did reach out to Ms. Feinberg and have not heard back from her. And I think that from basically her Twitter feed, she's just ignoring this until something further comes of it. And I think what further comes of it's going to be either a nice settlement or some pretty embarrassing litigation.
When you say the narrative is king, let's be altogether clear. We are not talking about a narrative based upon sound journalism and fact gathering. We were talking about a story that the reporter believes to be true, but provides little to no evidence for. And that narrative becomes the framework within all the story is covered. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I would actually say it's two things. One is that if you say something long enough, it becomes fact. So the Russia collusion narrative was based on repeating either falsehoods or truths that really had nothing to do with collusion until the public thinks there is evidence of collusion. So I think part of it is you say it long enough, it becomes true. The second part is that the narrative is a spin on something. So maybe in the 80s, there was a party atmosphere at Georgetown Prep. So I'm a child of the 80s. So I have no problem saying, yeah, that probably was what was going on in the 80s at Georgetown Prep. But that narrative and that truth has nothing to do with whether or not Brett Kavanaugh assaulted Christie Blasey Ford. And yet the narrative is taking over for that question. So I would actually say when I speak of narrative, I mean two things, which in this case, both are true, that the allegations are repeated so often that it becomes in the public mind a fact. And second, that maybe there is truth to part of the reporting, but what the reporting really has nothing to do with the issue that matters. Was there a sexual assault? And is based usually on a lot of gossip and hearsay and third-hand hearsay.
You say that the narrative itself, in this case, served two purposes for the media. What were they again?
So the first was that it was allowing the media to repeat this often enough that it became believed to be true. So there was a very solid party atmosphere that everyone was involved with, or in this case, that, yeah, this individual had something to do with the Kennedy death. The second would be that because it was a party atmosphere, we can infer that Kavanaugh was drunk and assaulted Blasey Ford. So those are the two different scenarios that you could have for what I mean when I speak of a narrative.
What are the takeaways from this situation?
Well, I think there's takeaways for both the public and for the media. And with the media being so quick, I think we always have to remind ourselves to stop and to check before you believe something and to always go back to some of these basics. Don't just repeat something that you've heard or share the articles. You want to look at your standards. So I think the media has that as a takeaway. And I think the public should be looking at this as a takeaway, too, that you can't trust the media and you want to have diverse sources you're looking at to see what the pushback is. So if all you do is read the Huffington Post, you're going to believe these stories. And if you, on the same hand, if all you read is the Washington Post, or if you read the Washington Examiner or the Federalist, I like to read a variety of things and see what the pushback is to get a take on what reality is. So I guess those would be the two takeaways. Both media needs to do a better job, and that the public needs to read things a little bit more critically and assume that mistakes are there because we've seen it so much.
Why does Justice Kavanaugh remain a target in the media?
Boy, that, you know, that one is a tough one. I want to say it has a few different reasons. One, I think it is designed to push the liberal vote. So you're seeing Senator Collins being attacked for voting for Justice Kavanaugh. I think that Justice Kavanaugh is a symbol for the leftist women of, I guess, their power struggle in some senses and what they perceive as an injustice. And on that one, I don't know if there really is a segment that has looked at all the evidence and truly really believes for or doesn't care. That's something I'm not sure on. But I also think that they want to make clear that we're playing for keeps, and it will have kind of a damaging effect on continuing forward. I could see Justice Kavanaugh maybe, you know, backing down on some of his views in order to become in the public's good grace again and to feel vindicated. So maybe there's part of that going on as well.
What does this ongoing trial in the court of public opinion, often led by the media, of Justice Kavanaugh and his associates tell you about the current state of the news media, Margo?
Well, that you're continuing on shows that it really is more mission-driven than fact-driven, that you can have these stories continually being pushed, shows that they have no judgment of what is really news. It is they want to make things news. And it's sad. The media has an important role to play in having a republic form of government and an educated public. So it's sad when you see the continuing targeting that they are putting their views ahead of their professional responsibilities.
Could we add a third purpose that is served for the media by this kind of smear campaign, and that is the long-term chilling effect that it has on justices like Brett Kavanaugh, who may want or aspire to places in the federal court or even the high court, but say, I don't think I want to put myself and my family through that.
Absolutely. That was one of the things that I was pondering a few months ago, where I was thinking, you know, I have in my mind who I think would be a wonderful, ideal justice, but would they say yes? And at the same time, will a president nominate someone with the chance that this horrible attack will hit them? So that was part of what I meant when I said it's kind of to control, and not just necessarily how they're ruling, but people coming up and whether or not you're going to get someone who's solidly conservative. Frankly, I don't see how another man is going to possibly get confirmed for some time, because all it takes is one person who had some faraway connection to make something up, and the person's doomed.
Finally, Margo, I think everyone, at least for a while, after the 2016 election, were saying, okay, eventually, we're dealing with grown-ups here. The journalists and the media will learn their lesson. They will go back to doing straight journalism. But people like me have come to the conclusion that I'm not going to hold my breath on that any longer. What are your thoughts?
We have so far past that day. We are seeing the journalists deciding that they are going to go out in an explosion of glory. They are not even pretending anymore. And it's sad, it's pathetic, and you would think that they would realize with Russia, for instance, okay, we made a mistake, we better watch what we're doing, but they're not. They're absolutely not. I absolutely agree with you, and it's shocking to me, but you've never had someone like Trump before, and it has driven so many people over the cliff's edge that I don't know if it's redeemable.
Margo Cleveland is an attorney and graduate of the Notre Dame Law School. She served for 25 years as a permanent law clerk for a federal appellate court judge. She's adjunct instructor for the College of Business at Notre Dame and senior contributor for The Federalist, author of a recent column there titled Lawsuit, HuffPo Falsely Blamed Black Student for Killing a Kennedy, All to Smear Brett Kavanaugh. Read it and all of her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Margo, thanks.
Thanks so much.
On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about a ruling of the Department of Health and Human Services in favor of the conscience rights of a pro-life nurse. Nancy Valco of the National Association of Pro-Life Nurses will join us.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.